AgriTalk is brought to you by Full Scale from Helena. Grow strong returns this season with breakthrough foliar nutrition from Full Scale at Reproduction. AgriTalk is brought to you by Simplot Grower Solutions, a partner you can grow with. Learn more at SimplotGrowerSolutions.com. It is time to get these reports out of the way so we can give the grain market something different to think about. Wow. Some of the chart watchers were looking for a pause to refresh the markets. I wonder if this qualifies as hitting the reset button. And for a change of pace, let's talk the livestock markets.
Live from the pre-report day hub via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we will talk with Lee Scholes from the Iowa State University Extension Office. And right after the news, Varsity Joe Vaklovic from Standard Grain. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
All right, Davis. Hey, thank you so much. Yeah, man. We are thankfully less than 24 hours from getting the quarterly grain stocks report and the prospective plantings report. I'm going to ask Joe Vaklovic is standing by. We'll probably get a little bit of perspective from him on how the markets are set up going into those reports. But we've talked we've talked about them. I feel like talking about it in the last 24 hours is going to be beating a dead horse. And instead, we're going to talk livestock. We're going to cover the hog market. We're going to cover the cattle market. We've got Lee Scholes from Iowa State University, and I am really looking forward to the change of pace, Davis.
For sure. Well, and you said reset button. I've actually got a button here marked reset. Let me see. Yeah. Let me push it and see what happens.
Careful.
Oh, yeah. Apparently, this is how we reset.
Apparently, it is. That's not the easy button. That's not what
That's not the easy button. No.
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 This is the easy button.
Yeah, what I heard in that first button was the path of least resistance to the downside, and that's how it felt in the grain markets today.
Like a burning ring of fire.
right. Okay, let's go ahead and get right into it. What you got in the news?
Well, Chip, the U.S. dollar index broke out to the upside on March 24, and the rally has accelerated to pull the greenback to its highest value in more than 4 months. The June contract has gained more than 2,500 points in March, making it difficult for ag commodities, and of course, especially wheat, to generate upside price momentum. The dollar was sharply higher again today, sending wheat futures lower. July soft red wheat futures carried a five handle at midday, recovered, then slipped back to session lows to settle below $6 for the first time since December 16.
Ouch.
July hard red winter wheat, 10¾ cents lower, 564¾ on the July. Soft red fell 12¼ cents, 599¾. September spring wheat, 9½ cents lower, 618¼ today.
Yeah, and there were some updates to the crop condition index on a state-by-state basis. And it was a kind of a mixed bag, but for the most part, as of the week ended March 28, there was some improvement in the hard red winter wheat crop condition rating. So that may have leaned on this market a bit too.
Well, May corn futures slipped into the bottom half of the month-long 20-cent sideways trading range. Liquidation of long positions held by professional trading funds is thought to be the source of most of the price pressure. The funds are lightening their risk load ahead of tomorrow's quarterly grain stocks and prospective planting reports from USDA. Export demand remains a bright spot for the corn market. USDA this morning announced the sale of nearly 101,000 metric tons of U.S. corn for delivery to unknown destinations in the current marketing year. May corn futures 7½ cents lower, 539¼. July corn fell 8¾ cents to 522½. December corn closed at 452½, down 8¾ cents. Long liquidation, and yet I keep hearing somebody's going to be surprised. It could just be a spring coiling here for us, right? I mean, can we look at it that way?
Absolutely. That's one of the questions that I've got for Joe. Has the liquidation that we've gone through set this market up for, if we do get anything that resembles a bullish number, a pop in the market tomorrow?
Soybean futures continued to show a willingness to follow soybean oil futures, and sharply lower bean oil prices pulled soybean futures sharply lower. Bean meal futures were narrowly mixed but favored the upside. Anxiety about tomorrow's USDA reports is also encouraging liquidation of long positions in beans. November soybean futures closed below $12 for the first time since February 19 and may be targeting support at the pivotal 1160 level. May bean futures 26 and one quarter cents lower, 1366 and three quarters. July beans plunged 27 and one half cents, 1357 and three quarters. November bean futures closed at 1186 and one quarter. That one's down 18 and one quarter cents, Chip.
Yeah, I'd like to say that there hasn't been a lot of technical damage to this market, and I think that's probably accurate, but we flushed it to a new low for the month. The next low for the month, if we're going to be looking at for support at monthly lows, doesn't come in until we get to that February low all the way down at 1135 and three quarters. So there's a ways to go to the February low.
Well, traders say uncertainty over Chinese demand for U.S. cotton caused by China's forced labor issues has resulted in an unpredictable futures market. May cotton was 15 points higher, 80.64. Dease cotton up 27, 78.92. Livestocks. Fed cattle futures saw an inside trading day with June futures posting a high range open and a low range close. April live cattle steady, 120.97 and a half. June cattle off 42 and one half cents, 122.22 and one half. April feeders down 25 cents, 146.82 and a half. And on the snout side, evidently somebody in China was peddling illegal African swine fever vaccines last year. They'll never catch me. And an executive from pork processor WH Group says that will reduce hog supplies later this year. April lean hogs 55 cents higher, $100.92 and a half. June hogs up 80 cents, 106.02 and a half. Chip.
All right. Thank you very much, Davis. Let's bring in Joe Vaklevic, Standard Grain. How you doing, Joe?
Good. How are you, Chip?
I'm doing just fine. How's the weather and the flooding situation down your way?
We had a lot of rain on Saturday. They had to raise all the lakes essentially about as high as they go so that Nashville doesn't flood. The lake that we live near feeds right into the Cumberland River, which runs through Nashville. But they've got it straightened out after that big flood they had in 2010. So it was bad, but they had it mostly under control.
Good. Great to hear. Okay, how do you feel? How do you feel like the markets are set up for tomorrow's reports?
Well, I think that there was probably some speculative liquidation here recently ahead of the report. You know, we've talked for months and months and months now about how these big funds are just so heavily long the market, and the extreme long is in the corn market, but there's also some real considerable length in the soybean market. So you probably got that. I think that there's probably some farmer selling here, maybe in new crop. Maybe some hedging being done in any old crop. I know there's not a ton of it around compared to a normal year, but you know, you get some panic ahead of this report or concern regarding the potential for downward price movement.
Yeah. I'm just going to ask it this way. What number are you looking most closely at for tomorrow?
I mean, really all of it. It's really two reports in one. I mean, it's acreage and then it's stocks, and they're two totally different things. I wouldn't be surprised to see, I think there could be a surprise in both. I think that the corn acreage or the soybean acreage or any of the stocks numbers could be drastically different than what the trade expects. That's kind of been more of a rule than an exception over the years. I mean, it seems like there's always some sort of surprise in these stocks numbers and the acreage too.
Yeah. Yep. Very good. And with the wide ranges that we've got on the pre-report guesses, I mean, we've said it a few times on the show, but somebody's going to be surprised when the numbers come out tomorrow. All right, Joe. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate you.
Yep, you too.
All right, Joe Vaklevic, Standard Grain. We are going to be talking about the hog market in the next segment, following that up with a conversation about what's going on in the cattle markets. Lee Scholes, Iowa State University, right here on AgriTalk.
Farming in the 21st century requires data-driven technology and product decisions that are rooted in on-the-ground insights. At Simplot Grower Solutions, we're in your fields and by your side to help you grow yields and profits. Simplot is a pioneer and innovator in plant nutrition and agronomic science. Our local experts offer grounded advice to help you get the most out of every acre. Go to SimplotGrowerSolutions.com to see how we can be your one-stop resource. Simplot Grower Solutions, a partner you can grow with.
Never miss a story. Text NEWS to 31313 to have today's top stories delivered to your phone.
Welcome back to At Your Talk. I'm Chip. Davis Michelson is with us here someplace.
Hello. Exactly yes. Sure yes, I'm
there
here.
There he is. He's Davis. There.
Davis. Wow. Davis.
All right.
Yes.
Like I said at the open, we've talked a lot about the Prospective Plantings Report and the Grain Stocks Report, and I thought today would be really nice and a great opportunity to just kind of take a break from all that talk and talk about what's going on in the hog market, talk about what's going on in the livestock, in the live cattle, the feeder cattle markets. And I can't think of anybody else to bring in to do both of those. And Lee Scholes from Iowa State University. How you doing, Lee?
It's great to be with you.
Good, man. What a weird basketball season. On one hand, we suffered through the men's side like I've never suffered before. And on the other side, watching the women play another great season, it was so weirdly.
Just like everything else these days, right? And I think, now we're looking forward to baseball season, right? And that certainly is, something we're talking about when we're talking about meat demand, too.
Yep. Dude, I'm old enough to remember when we could look forward to an Iowa State baseball season. That's how old I am. I remember going to games over there, sitting up watching Coach Randall over there. He was awesome. Man, that was fun. But no more. All right, man, let's get into it. The Hogs and Pigs report that we had last week, boy, it showed some trends that I think were expected, but the trends toward contraction and pulling in the horns were more aggressive than what I expected to see, Lee. What about you?
Yeah, I think, I think it's premature to talk about contraction, but certainly we're seeing some tapping of the brakes. And I think it confirmed a lot of what we thought. I think it was a little bit more bullish of a report in the sense that, numbers across the board were below year-ago levels. They were below or at the bottom of pre-report expectations. So it certainly was a bit of a surprise, and we came away, with expectations for tighter pork supplies this year and going into next year potentially.
Yeah, the forward-looking data, the farrowing intentions, I think may have been a bit of a surprise to most people out there just because there was more pullback on the farrowing intentions. Are the prices that we're seeing right now, might that change those intentions a bit going forward?
Certainly, and I think that highlights that they are intention. So they're the best educated guess as of March 1, and we've actually seen quite a bit of strength since March 1. And I think it's important to put them in a bit of context, too, especially that June-August number. We're comparing to a massive June-August number last year, and so anything's probably going to look smaller year over year. And in the last 10 years, U.S. that number's always been greater as a final number than the first intentions. And so that just shows that, expectations get a little bit better as we go throughout the summer, I think, as prices always get better during the summer. So, I'm not saying that we're going to see a massive number again this summer, but I think we will see some increase in that, and that will contribute to potentially seeing larger pig crop this summer and help the supplies next winter.
Gotcha. The pigs per litter coming in below year-ago levels, I don't know how widely that was expected, but it's sure an eye-opener when you consider the efficiency in the farrowing house seemed like it was just continuing to stair-step to the to the top side, but a bit of a setback. Was that disease driven? Is that what caused that?
I think so, and really it's a double whammy when you have a smaller breeding herd, smaller farrowings, and then you get lower productivity. But I think the productivity is likely short-lived. We've heard a lot of trade chatter about PRRS this year, a new more virulent strain. And so I think when you look at the monthly pig save per litter, December was down 1.4% compared to year ago, January down 0.5, but February is actually up. And that really follows kind of that PRRS curve that really yep. starts to hit in October. By March, you know, we're for the most part, starting to clean some of that up.
Okay. So what's all this say about total fat hog or market ready hog supply in the second half of the year?
Well, I think, you know, we're going to be comparing, even though April, June, I mean, that's going to be much larger slaughter levels just because that was the major impact from COVID. But even though, realize that big backlog is what we've seen in July and September. October, December, we were even still cleaning some of that up. You know, I think overall, we're likely to see similar production numbers to what we did a year ago. And I think post report, that number's a little bit tighter than what we expected. So I wouldn't be surprised if we did see slightly lower than a year ago. But hog weights are still very important here in the discussion, and that may help balance out a little bit. Even though we got higher feed costs, those hog prices are really incentivizing feeding those hogs still to heavier yeah. weights.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, you make a good point about last year's disruption on processing, creating some mushiness in the comparison this year. Is there anything else that we should be looking at as a point of comparison to give us a better indication of what total supplies are?
Well, I think, you know, one thing we're really going to look at is realizing major disruptions didn't start until April. And so, you know, we had some indication here that, you know, slaughter levels, have been, I think, tighter or, you know, at least comparable what we expected in the hog and pigs report for the heavy hog numbers. But as you mentioned, as we get into April, May, I mean, those year-over-year comparisons can be pretty difficult. If anything, I tell people to compare to 2019 levels as a better yeah. barometer there.
Okay. All right. Very good. Now let's move over to the demand side of the equation. Davis mentioned it in the news. There's some shenanigans going on with the African swine fever vaccines in China. Tom Vilsack's counterpart last week said, listen, we've got ASF under control. I don't know if anybody believes it or not, but that market was outstanding for us in 2020. Can it be better than many feared it would be in 2021?
Well, so far it isn't in the kind of raw volumes comparison, but I'll put some context there. I mean, it was incredible the first half of last year, and so we have taken a bit of a step back from that, but that's still incredible exports to China, and it's still incredible exports to a lot of our major markets. Really, I think, you know, if we see exports at par with a year ago, that's a huge win. And I think that's where, I mean, prices are expecting that. And so, I mean, don't get used to this, you know, double-digit year-over-year gains. I think maintaining right. that would be incredible here.
Okay. What do you make of domestic demand for pork?
I think that's really not being talked about as much as it should. I mean, really, pork was a major success story of its ability to appeal to consumers. With all those disruptions, I think, you know, we've seen strong domestic demand, even though, you know, half of it was shut off to the food service markets. And so I think, and really that shows we could even catapult more as we continue to see food service open back up and tight supplies. Cold storage supplies are very tight. I think that part of the reason why people are buying a lot to be ready for some of that reopening. So, you know, I think we could see a real added bump here to the pork yeah. market once we do see more of that reopening.
And I think we got to watch bellies, Lee, because bacon is popular at home. But at home, I don't think consumers are treating it like a condiment like restaurants do, right?
Certainly. I mean, bellies are you know, the prices are strong, the supplies are tight. And they're only going to get tighter and more strong as we see, you know, the food service really rebound here. And you know, I think, but that's also a credit to, you know, we brought a lot of what we were used to eating out home too, and that certainly helped belly prices throughout the pandemic.
Absolutely, absolutely. Oh my gosh, the music's playing. Crazy. Okay, Lee, when we come back, we got to stay on hogs here for just a little bit because I want to know what that 105, 106 level for the summer feed, for the summer lean hog market, does that deserve some attention from risk managers out there? Should we be looking at some, getting some coverage in place? And of course, we'll cover cattle markets next with Lee Scholes. It's time for headline news featuring some of the headlines ripped from pro farmers. First thing today, the U.S. dollar index has climbed to its highest level since mid-November. Pro farmer crop consultant Dr. Michael Cordonier says U.S. corn plantings will reach 93 million acres, soybean plantings of 90.5 million acres. Cordonier also raised his Brazilian bean crop projection to 133 million metric tons on improved Rio Grande do Sul weather. Ukraine's wheat exports are unlikely to bump up against the established cap. Russia has extended the price cuts on sugar and sunflower oil. The biggest tax-related issue for the ag sector that they are watching is the step up in basis. We're going to talk with Paul Niefer about that tomorrow morning right here on AgriTalk. Give ProFarmer a try. Just go to tryprofarmer.com.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. Our name says it all. AgriTalk. What more do you need to know?
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Got Davis with me. We are having a conversation with Lee Scholes from Iowa State University. Before we get back to Lee, let's go ahead and recap how the market's closed.
Chip, July hard red winter wheat futures 10¾ cents lower today, 564¾. July soft red fell 12¼ cents to 599¾. May corn futures 7½ cents lower, 539¼. December corn closed at 452½. That's down 8¾ cents. May soybean futures 26¼ cents lower, 1366¾. Novi beans 1186¼ on the close, down 18¼ cents. May cotton 15 points higher, 8064. June cattle fell 42½ cents, 122.22½. April feeders slipped 25 cents, 146.82½. And June lean hogs up 80 cents on the day, 106.02½. There's your quick market recap. Back to you.
All right. Thank you so much. Lee Scholes is the Iowa State University Extension Livestock Marketing Specialist. He's our guest today. Lee, we talked supply. We talked demand in the hog market in the last segment. Now let's talk about the need for some pricing or some risk management. You got that July contract, 104.90. The June contract, 106 on the close today. Heck, even the August contract is over $100. Is there a need for some risk management in this market right now, Lee?
Well, I think there's always a need, but I think it comes back to, you know, what else are you looking for? I mean, I think we've really seen demand pull and cost push really coalesce here. And so, I mean, these are offering very good prices. We haven't seen these prices since 2014. And also I think it's important to remember that we have a lot higher costs too. So, you know, there's a way to protect that margin, right? And I think if there's a concern, it's from the cost side as well. Could we see much higher costs? that's going to erode those margins. So I think the market's offering tremendous opportunity now. There's ways you could leave some upside too in the market.
Oh, absolutely. Lee, I don't know if you've had an opportunity to listen to much of AgriTalk this year, but we've been talking pricing flexibility on the grains, and we've been stressing that if you're going to do it in livestock, you probably better maintain some flexibility there as well, just simply because, you know, getting a floor in place makes a lot of sense, but doggone it, there's so much uncertainty going forward that could propel these markets higher that you've got to maintain that flexibility to take advantage of it if it does happen, correct?
That's exactly it. And I mean, at prices like this, you can put in a pretty low floor as well that still keeps you rather profitable, especially when we look at these summer contracts. And so, even though the volatility is obviously kind of increasing the cost of that insurance, but also, I mean, I think just the levels we're at offers that opportunity.
Okay, good stuff. Let's switch gears, go over to the cattle complex. And let's start with the cow-calf guys here, Lee, because we've talked about how the soybean oil market is bottom left to top right on the daily chart, the hog market, bottom left, top right. You can make that argument for the feeder cattle market, too, that it's bottom left, top right, made a new high today in the September contract at least, new contract high close. That's a spiffy-looking market, that feeder cattle market. Lee, what's driving this?
You know, we continue to see this kind of deferred optimism, and you know, live cattle have it as well. And I think, you know, the feeder cattle, the fundamentals are we're expecting tighter supplies. We've had smaller calf crops. But I think it's really just that this optimism is out there. And I think that's what we're seeing, the feeder cattle, where we're being priced at. That offers a tremendous opportunity for producers of all operation types or when they're having those calves, because be it if I'm in a background or if I'm going to market those calves, I got a big window out there to really do something and allows me to lock in some prices I haven't seen for quite a while.
Yeah. And that supply issue is one thing. And I keep, can you imagine what this feeder cattle market would be if the feed yards were making $100 a head, Lee?
It's hot now, and I can't imagine if feed was cheaper or if fed cattle were stronger. And we're starting to get some signals in fed cattle, and I think that's certainly helping feeder cattle that we're finally breaking out of this 7-week lull or just kind of steady market that we couldn't seem to kick.
Right. Yeah. Pulling away from that 114 level. That's good news. I still don't feel like the feed yard's got much leverage though, Lee. It still feels like, the Packers, it's not an easy job to get the cattle that they need, but they're not pushing it yet, are they?
No, I mean, I think we're still working through, you know, some placements that we've seen, and supplies are, I wouldn't say they're abundant, but you know, I think that's what's really pressured this cash market, and we've kind of seen this counter seasonal where, you know, June is trading the strength that it is, but you know, I think there's a lot of signs here that we are starting to see tighter supplies, and that's really working into those cash prices.
Yeah. You know, the other thing is I wonder, I feel like the overweight, the burdensome supply that we had coming out of the disruptive marketings in 2020, it feels like the hangover from that lasted a lot longer because we saw some absolute monsters go to market. Lee, and there's still monsters that are making their way to market in some of the northern locations. It feels like we're finally getting to the end of cleaning up the mess that we had in 2020, right?
I was exactly going to bring up that, we still have heavy weights out there. More expensive corn is certainly helping that. And I think what else is going to help that is where the cash price rally we've seen. And so I think, you know, it's maybe you had some producers waiting around for that rally eventually, and I think that should really help purge this market. And I think maybe that's really what's happened here the last couple of weeks. It's easy to say hindsight, but now, you know, we're starting to see that market being purged, and it took a little bit longer, but now we're starting to see that rally.
Okay, great. Great, interesting. Demand side. Let's stay in the domestic market on this for right now, Lee. It's you said it earlier. It was pretty amazing how we moved a lot of that pork demand from the restaurant food service level back to the consumer and the in-home dining. You can say the same thing about beef, right?
Exactly. I mean, I think that's a testament to the resilience of the whole supply chain. And I think ground beef really gives us a great barometer there. And we continue to see very strong ground beef demand. And that's regardless of if we're eating it at home or we're eating it at restaurants, that's really helping support this market.
Yeah. Yeah. That's interesting. You know, the ground beef market is one thing. The higher value cuts, the strips and the loins, that's another measure of demand, and that seems like it's been awfully good for us out there as well. Pricing opportunities, how do you view what's going on in futures right now? Is there any opportunities to use some risk management strategies in the live cattle?
Live cattle, I think, you know, we got the potential here to push the 120s in the cash market. And I think, you know, I'm not saying don't do anything, but certainly right. If there's a market to leave some upside in, it's the live cattle market. We haven't seen the seasonal rally that we almost always see, right, in March, and then another bump in May. And so we've been waiting. Maybe it's a little delayed this year, but I think you need to allow that upside in that market.
Okay, and I think the same applies here as what you said in hogs. You can probably find a put option that will lock in a reasonable floor for you under the market that you can get a little cheaper than going at the money, right?
Yep, same scenario there. I mean, okay. You know, and it's really all kind of dependent on what I paid for those feeder cattle too. And so, you know, I think there was some opportunities when corn prices were hiking and feeder cattle hadn't got their rally yet that, you know, I probably got some really good, well-priced feeder cattle. And I think that's, you know, lowered that price floor opportunity that allows me to see some profitable margins.
Okay. You know, Lee, when we talk about what's going on in the grain markets, there's kind of an expectation out there that we're going to see at least an opportunity to lock in some profits the year ahead and into the next year. It's kind of feels that way in livestock again, right?
It does. It seems like it's livestock's turn again. And, yeah. You know, I think that, you know, a lot of things have coalesced to get us here. And I think coming off a year like 2020, that's really provided a lot more optimism back into the industries. And I think that's really I think we need to be thankful that producers who did hang around and went through just a really traumatic times that they're here to benefit now from these opportunities.
Amen to that. Amen to that, Lee. Good stuff, buddy. Thank you so much. Really appreciate your time and appreciate what you do, man.
Thank you.
All right. Lee Scholes, Iowa State University Livestock Marketing Specialist. Davis and I will be back to wrap things up here in just a moment.
If the world is your oyster, we've got pearls of wisdom on AgriTalk.
Welcome back. I'm Chip, got Davis with me, finished up a conversation with Iowa State University Extension Livestock Marketing Specialist Lee Scholes. It's interesting how the conversation about optimism, the conversation about the market's offering up an opportunity for profits, the mm-hmm. conversation about maintaining flexibility in your risk management strategies, you know, it makes the move from grains to livestock, livestock to grains. And it's a very similar conversation happening in all the ag markets right now, Davis. It's pretty encouraging.
Yes. I gotta say, I wrote down the word of the day from that conversation with Lee Scholes, and it seems like it was opportunity.
Mm. Oh, I like that. I like
it,
that.
It just
like
seems
that
like that and the idea of, you know, maybe not now, but get ready, opportunity.
Right, right. Well, when we talk about the highest prices in the hog market, the highest prices in the feeder cattle market since 2014,
yep.
those should be offering up some opportunities. It's part of the bigger long-term cycles that we see in these markets. You know, we typically get two cycles in hogs for every cycle in cattle, just simply because of the timeline that it takes mm-hmm. for to make adjustments to the size of the herd, both the breeding and the market herd. And we're pointed in the right direction in these markets right now. So it's very encouraging. And as Lee was talking, I was flashing back to the conversation that we had yesterday afternoon with Kerry Artak when he was taking a look at the hog market.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can get through those overhead resistance levels, we start talking about a move into that 130, into the 130s in the lean hog market. Those are PEDV levels. Those are levels that we saw when the herd was greatly reduced because of a disease making its way through the farrowing houses. That is it. We've had an issue with PRRS. Yes, it's been a little deadlier, or it was a little deadlier in that October to February time frame that Lee was talking about than maybe mm-hmm. what it was the year before. But we're talking about a 1% reduction year over year in the pig crop, not a 6, 7% reduction in the pig crop like we saw at the height of PEDV. So there's going to be tighter supply, but it's not an overwhelming factor for this market. So it's got to be at least, it's more than half. It's more than half driven by demand for pork mm-hmm. and for beef, Davis. It's remarkable. It's mm-hmm. absolutely remarkable. It's fun.
I do have to wonder how the opportunities from a feed standpoint might mm-hmm. figure into how all this pencils out. Mm-hmm. May mm-hmm. meal right now at 398, the July right at 400. Yep. Look out to the October still 375 out to the October.
Yep. Yep. You remember a guy by the name of Mike Walston?
I remember Mike well. Yes, I do. Yes. He's a peach. Yeah.
Absolutely. And a heck of a smart guy
yep.
when it comes to managing risk on the hog market in particular.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I mean,
he's a guy with rind in the game. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And every time I went to him and said, geez, Mike, what are you guys doing in your operation on soybean meal? How much do you have covered? And he goes, well, all of it. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. everything that we need for this round of feeding in that house at this time, or to get those sows through gestation and to weaning yep. those pigs, everything that we need is locked in.
Yep.
And the plain and simple reason was because when you know your costs, you can yes. then manage around that. But if you don't yep. know your costs, you can't manage around it.
Mm-hmm.
And so there were times of the year when Mike would say, you know what, you can hold off, you can wait a little bit, you don't have to do it this moment. But it was a majority of the time that Mike just flat out said, listen, just get your meal covered, get your corn mm-hmm. covered, get your costs covered, because once you know what those costs are, you can then move forward on managing the price risk and the margins and yep. manage the risk to seeing a positive margin go negative on you. That's just logical.
Better the ration you know than the ration you don't.
Right.
I think is what he was trying to say.
Right. That's probably true. Just makes a heck of a lot of sense. And I would add this on the soybean meal side of things right now. I think it makes a lot of sense with that meal, with several meal contracts under $400. You get out mm-hmm. Into the summer month contracts, and July's at $400. You got the August at $390, $470. You got the September at $386. Even the October's at $374, but that feels more like a new crop market than an old crop market.
Okay.
But you've got some opportunities to cover your anticipated needs under $400, and to me that feels like something worth taking a look at. National For Weather sure. Service 6 to 10 day outlook April 5th through the 9th. We've got those above normal temperatures sticking around right across the Corn Belt. Above normal precipitation. The odds are expanding for above normal precip from what we talked about yesterday. Basically from Ohio out to western Nebraska and the Dakotas all the way down into East Texas is where we are looking for above normal precipitation April 5th through the 9th. Wow, that was an active day for us, for Davis and for producer Big Apple yeah. Joe Stackler. Thank you so much for listening today. Tomorrow morning, we're going to talk with Paul Niefer about these tax proposals. What exactly is going on there? Tomorrow afternoon, Steve Free from ADM Investor Services.